My guest is rock singer, songwriter, and guitarist Marshall Crenshaw. His latest album, his fourth, is Mary Jean and Nine Others. Crenshaw is a favorite of many rock critics and has a devoted following, yet he's never had a hit single or achieved mainstream success. This summer, Crenshaw played Buddy Holly in the movie La Bamba. Crenshaw grew up in Detroit listening to Buddy Holly, R&B, the Everly Brothers, and Eddie Cochran.
I honestly did get interested in rock and roll when I was a child. My father was a big rock and roll fan. My dad also likes country music and anything with a beat, you know, anything that's kind of down to earth, he likes. And that's the kind of music I always heard at home.
So they weren't yelling at you to grow up and listen to Steve and Edie Gourmet?
No, I never got that. I mean, I got yelled at about a lot of things, but that wasn't one of them.
Your brother Robert is the drummer in your group. Have you been playing together since childhood?
No, my brother and I have been working together just over the last 6 or 7 years.
So how did you get together playing?
What happened was he got out of high school and he immediately got into a band that was making money. And I just kind of like, you know, I got real interested because I was in a rock band, like a local rock band in Detroit. And we were trying to play our own songs, you know, and be a bar band at the same time, and it was just a complete failure.
Rock radio has gotten pretty tightly formatted. Do you get a lot of play on rock radio stations around the country?
I don't think I do, no. I don't listen to very many of them, so I can't say firsthand, but no, as far as I know, I don't get, you know, I get little, if any. I think there are a lot of things out there on the radio that are real comparable to what I do. I just have an individual slant on it, I think.
You recently played the role of Buddy Holly in the film La Bamba. You had been compared to Buddy Holly by some listeners and rock critics when you started performing. How did you get the part in the film?
Well, you know, it was real undeliberate on my part. I didn't know anything about the fact that they were making a movie about Ritchie Valens. I never would have guessed that anybody would make a movie about Ritchie Valens. And I also wasn't really pursuing film roles or anything like that. It was just a classic kind of a thing, you know. I picked up the phone, and it was Hollywood on the other end. And the fellow on the phone was Taylor Hackford, who was the producer of the film. And you know, he started telling me about La Bamba and asking me if I wanted to play Buddy Holly. And I kind of said, "Oh yeah, here we go again." You know.
What were your reservations?
Well, my first reservation was that I didn't think I could pull it off, you know. I didn't think I could get up in front of a camera and pretend to be someone else and actually do it, you know, with a straight face. But he talked me into it, you know. He said, at least read the script before you make a decision. So he sent me the thing. I got it the next day. And as soon as I read it, I really got interested in it.
Greil Marcus, the rock critic, praised you for portraying Buddy Holly as a hipster.
Yeah, I know.
Were you consciously thinking of that?
No, not at all. I was trying, you know, as best as I could, I was trying to come off like I was, you know, Buddy Holly from Lubbock, Texas, you know.
About you all the time.
I think one of the great ironies in your career is this. Buddy Holly was one of the people who really influenced the Beatles. They named themselves after Holly's group, the Crickets. And you actually played not only Buddy Holly in La Bamba, but you were one of the stars of Beatlemania in the West Coast tour, I think. And you played the part of John Lennon.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. Well, I was in the... I know, it is really like a marvelous coincidence.
Yeah.
Because if I had to, you know, if I had to make a list of my top 10 favorite musicians and childhood heroes and stuff like that, those guys would be tied for first place, you know, battling it out, John Lennon and Buddy Holly.
I should say, for our listeners who don't remember Beatlemania, that how did they bill it? Not the real thing, but an amazing facsimile?
Yeah, this is embarrassing. Actually, Beatlemania was this really silly thing. It was a really big hit for a while, but I don't know. When I first heard about it, I was appalled. There was this big spread in Time magazine, and it was these guys dressed up as the Beatles, you know, and I just thought, this is ridiculous, you know, this is so exploitative and phony and stuff. But then later on, when they offered me a job, you know, I kind of threw my ethics out the window. And because I needed the money, you know, that's the truth.
How long did you do it?
Just shy of 2 years.
When you got out of Beatlemania and you started making it on your own, under your own name, did you go through a period of almost being embarrassed to tell people that you'd been in the show?
Well, I figured it, I thought of it like, I read Merle Haggard's autobiography, and he said that when he first started his career, after he'd had a couple records out, he decided to reveal to the public that he'd been in San Quentin on death row, because he figured that eventually people would find out anyway and perhaps try and use it against him. So I always, you know, I was always upfront about having been in Beatlemania for the same kind of reason.
Are you hungry for big success in your career? Do you know what I mean? The kind of stadium concert type affair? Or do you think that you'd rather keep things at a more moderate proportion? I mean, not as the kind of thing you could decide anyways, but...
God, you know, I really don't know. I haven't got that sorted out. I mean, I'm definitely ambitious, no question about it. But, I don't know, that doesn't completely get it either, you know, because really the kind of shows I like to play are, I like to play where there are lots of people who love us. You know, I mean, that's like the only criterion. So I guess if there's 1,000 of them, that's cool. But then if there were 100,000 of them, boy, that would really be cool.
1, 2, 3.
Last question. During your career, you played John Lennon in Beatlemania, you played Buddy Holly in La Bamba. Do you think that, if someone was playing Marshall Crenshaw, do you think of yourself as having an identifiable style in the way that the people you played do? It's really hard to judge that kind of thing for yourself.
I think we definitely have an identifiable sound, without a doubt. I can't define exactly what it is, or I won't, you know, I won't try to describe it, because you're right, I'm too close to it to do that. But yeah, I'm real certain about that. I think that is that I've always admired people who were stylists, you know, who as soon as you heard like 2 or 3 notes, you knew it was them. And yeah, I'll stand up and say that about us. You know, I think that if you hear a few seconds of one of our things, you can tell it's us. You know, I think that's at least one thing we have going for us.
Marshall Crenshaw, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Cool.
Marshall Crenshaw's latest album, Mary Jean and 9 Others, is on Warner Records. Next week, he'll perform in Richmond and Norfolk, Virginia, and Asbury Park, New Jersey. Thanks to WIOQ Radio in Philadelphia for the tape of Marshall Crenshaw in concert.